From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama is trying to build public support for his plan to overhaul the nation's healthcare system to help counter the concerns being expressed by some lawmakers, including a number of Democrats, about how to pay for the proposal. Mr. Obama says the plan would bolster, not replace, the best elements of the current system.
Michelle and I don't want anyone telling us who our family doctor should be, and no one should decide that for you either. Under our proposal, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance.
Mr. Obama speaking in his weekly radio and internet address today. Republican Senator John Kyle of Arizona cautioned against trying to get such complex legislation through Congress by the end of next month. That's the deadline Mr. Obama has set.
The president and some Democrats insist we must rush this plan through. Why? Because the more Americans know about it, the more they oppose it. Something this important needs to be done right rather than done quickly.
Kyle gave the Republicans' weekly address. The president has said he will not sign on to any plan that would increase the federal deficit, but the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says the bill now before the House would boost the deficit by $239 billion over the next decade. The nation's governors say federal stimulus money they're getting from the plan enacted by Congress earlier this year is helping them weather the most serious budget crisis that states have faced in years. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
The state budget crunch is at the forefront of discussions this weekend at the National Governors Association annual meeting in Biloxi, Mississippi. The group's chairman, Democrat Edward Rendell of Pennsylvania, stayed home to cope with the fiscal crisis, but in videotaped remarks said many states would have been swamped financially without the stimulus. Now the governors are calling for new infrastructure investment. Vermont Republican Jim Douglas is the group's vice chairman.
After a century of buildup, our roads and bridges are in disrepair. Our water infrastructure hasn't kept pace with our growth, and our electric grid is little different from the one that was envisioned by Thomas Edison more than a century ago.
Douglas says it would cost $2.2 trillion over the next 5 years to upgrade the nation's aging infrastructure. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Biloxi, Mississippi.
The first major religious festival in Iraq since U.S. troops pulled back from cities in that country has ended largely peacefully, the BBC's Gabriel Gatehouse reports.
The festival is one of the most important dates in the Shiite religious calendar. It's also the biggest security challenge for the Iraqi authorities since they took over control of the towns and cities from the Americans. Despite a partial curfew and large numbers of soldiers and police on the streets of the capital, a spate of bombings killed three pilgrims and wounded more than 30 others on Friday. In 2005, at the same festival, rumors of a suicide bomber swept through the crowd, causing a stampede that killed around 1,000 people.
Gabriel Gatehouse in Baghdad. This is NPR News. A sheriff in Tennessee says a suspect is being held in the killings of 5 people in that state and another just across the border in Alabama. Investigators say some of the victims were related. Tom Watson holds a 1-stroke lead heading into the final day of play at the British Open golf tournament at Turnberry in Scotland. Watson is 18 holes away from achieving what many have considered an impossible feat, a 59-year-old winning a major golf tournament, something that has never been done before. NPR's Tom Goldman has the story.
Tom Watson continues to defy expectations that a 59-year-old pro 30 years past his golfing prime will end his flirtation with history and fade away. Saturday, Watson again played like he intended to replace Julius Boros as the oldest man to win a major title. Boros won the 1968 PGA Championship when he was 48. Watson was steady from the start of the third round. He drove the ball long and kept it in the fairway. He adjusted to the tricky Turnberry winds, and he sank key putts. All part of his game plan, he said, for the last 2 days of the championship.
I can afford to make a certain number of bogeys, and I have to make up with a certain number of birdies. And that's been my game plan. I'm pretty close to it right now.
The 5-time British Open winner begins Sunday's final round with a 1-stroke lead over Australian Matthew Goggin and Englishman Ross Fisher. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Russian cyclist Sergei Ivanov won today's stage of the Tour de France. Lance Armstrong did not lose any time to the overall leader, Italy's Rinaldo Nocentini, but he did drop back a spot in the standings to fourth. A woman who was watching the race was killed when she was struck by a policeman on a motorcycle as she was trying to cross a road. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.